This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me
Ian Boddy.
And I'm Stuart Burks.
Okay, now Ian, you've had a long association with the Methodist Church in Palmerston North.
I have. I was in what Mum and Dad called Church of England. And so I've been going to church all my life. But until I was about 19, I went to the Anglican Church. And some of my friends started up a young adults group, and I went and joined them. They did their own program. They didn't have adults leading them.
Was that young adults at the Anglican Church?
No, in the Methodist Church.
They met
in people's
that.
Homes, not in the church hall, and their parents were there to provide supper. That was my conversion to being a Methodist.
The food was better.
The food was better and the conversations weren't driven by adults.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so that was good. The reason that we're getting together now in particular is because of a new development with the Methodist Church. You've just reopened a church after its major rebuilding, but there's been a few changes in venue for the Methodist Church in Palmerston North, hasn't there?
There has. There have been five or six churches in the years gone by, and they joined together, and there ended up being Trinity and St. Paul's. Trinity on Cuba Street, St. Paul's on Broadway.
Yeah.
And in the late 80s, they decided that Trinity was such an earthquake risk that they needed to quit it. And so the two churches joined and came together with a common name. And they called themselves Wesley Broadway.
Yeah, okay. Did they expand the premises at Wesley Broadway for that?
We initially met in St. Paul's, but they fairly soon decided that they needed a new worship centre because St. Paul's was going to end up with the same earthquake problems as Trinity.
Yeah.
And so a new worship centre was built onto St. Paul's.
Yeah. Okay.
So three walls, with the fourth wall being St. Paul's itself, and that eventually caused problems. But But yes, we came together in one building and used St. Paul's more or less as a huge Sunday school room.
Ah, okay.
We didn't call it Sunday school, we called it children's program.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, much more progressive.
Yeah, which was well supported in those days.
You got
many children?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Okay. So you managed for, 20, 30 years with that sort of structure, with the Wesley Broadway Church?
We did, though I wasn't there all that time. When I was a teenager, my mum had said to me, if you're thinking of a career, you ought to become a priest, a minister. She meant a priest in the Church of England. Apparently she said it to my older brother as well. Neither of us did, except I eventually did. I eventually did what my mum said, but first I was a school teacher, and then I was a public servant in the housing corporation for 17 years. When I was made redundant, I used the redundancy to buy myself into a comics and games shop.
Oh, yes,
and,
I remember that. Yeah.
But at some stage around there, I also became a lay preacher in the Methodist system. And then eventually, when it was looking like comic shops weren't going to survive well into the 21st century, I thought, I'd better do what Mum said. So by then I was 58, and I candidated for ministry. And so I've ended up being the minister. First, I went to Blenheim, was my first appointment, 6 years. And then I came back and went to Levin, but that was only a half-time appointment. I was looking for a full-time. And then it turned out that the Manawatu Rangitiki parish was looking for a minister. And so they asked me.
Okay. Did you have all sorts of special training for this, from being a lay preacher to being a minister?
When I first became a lay preacher, I was standing in Trinity after one of the church services having a cup of tea, and the administrator, Gordon Green, was saying out loud, "We've got nobody to take the church service on the 17th of July or something like that.
Yeah.
Who will take that service?" And I said, I was standing behind him and I said, "I will." And he turned around and said, "Yes, you will." And that was my appointment as a lay preacher.
Right.
And eventually people started saying, "Oh, there's lay preachers that haven't actually had any training." And they started setting up lay preacher training courses.
Okay.
But basically for 10 years or more, I didn't do any. I trained myself.
Yeah. Well, I did know, in fact, there were quite a few Massey academics, I think, who were doing that sort of thing in various churches around.
Yes, that's right.
So it was a fairly common. The idea of people sort of almost seeing it as a career and having, what, 3, 5 or more years training in things for, well, I suppose that would be more for the ministry rather than as a lay preacher.
Even when I went into the ministry, I only had 2 years training.
Okay.
I already had a degree, so some of that counted towards the training.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And
so where is it? Where is the training, or where was the training?
It's up in Auckland, except in my second year, they did something that suited me completely. In my first year, it was almost a write-off. I did 2 papers by correspondence, and I was trying all year to sell my comic shop, which is what I did.
So you could train part-time in July.
And so I was very much part-time, going to the occasional block course.
Yeah.
The second year, they made it all block courses.
Oh, right. So who was actually teaching it?
Trinity College in, which is...
Oh, is that the UK?
No, it's part of the St. John's College Anglican campus.
Oh, okay.
There's a...
So they're training the opposition or the competition?
No, they didn't. they sort of trained separately, but on the same premises.
Okay.
With a wonderful library.
Yeah.
The Kinder Library.
Okay.
It's great.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did 1 block course per month.
Yeah.
I did 12 different papers in my second year.
Yeah, okay.
And 1 a month and passed them all and graduated and became a minister.
Okay. So what areas, this is moving away from the topic of the church building, but it's fascinating. What subjects are you required to take in the training? You did 12 courses.
I got a diploma in practical theology. So there were some theological courses.
Mm-hmm.
There was Oceania course, sort of Methodism in the Pacific.
Social issues? It's basically religious study or... Or social community.
There was one paper where I specialised in writing about the social services in Whanganui at a time when that was being attacked and eventually collapsed through right-wing people saying that you shouldn't be treating things at the bottom of the cliff. And It seemed to me that was the place where they had to be.
I was going to say, because the Methodist churches, you've got Methodist social services and so on. So the Methodist church in Palmerston North has been very active in social issues, hasn't it?
It has.
Okay. Mm. So anyway, so to get back to the church building, you were in the building, it became Wesley Broadway, and... it went on fine for several years, but then
quite a number of years. But before the Christchurch quakes, even it was becoming that people were saying St. Paul's is an earthquake risk.
Because of brick construction.
And by the soon after the earthquakes in Christchurch, the St. Paul's part was closed. So for a lot of years it was closed. No one was to go in there at all. The doors were simply barred. Mm. And while I was away in Blenheim, a lot of talk went on about what would they do next.
Mm.
And a lot of arguing over what it would be and how much it would cost and who was going to pay for it and all of that sort of thing. Went on for years and years and was still being discussed when I returned. Not that I'm the catalyst for the new building itself, but maybe it helped that I was determined that something happened. And it did. We decided we would demolish St. Paul's. We did that in early 2020. And that's part of the story as to why it took so long. Because 2 days before the first lockdown, the last bricks were knocked down.
That's the... Cause, so COVID disrupted...
COVID disrupted everything.
Now, I'll just mention that now. Trinity was largely brick, wasn't it?
Yes,
and St. Paul's was brick.
Yes.
Is that a hangover from Britain, brick construction for churches?
Yes, I think so.
But they were never thought of as dangerous.
I think the first Methodist church, what it was on Broadway, in Palmerston North, the first Methodist church was... I don't know what year, but I know that they took down a church, a wooden church, to build the brick one in 1911.
Okay.
So the St. Paul's was over a century old when it was demolished.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah, because St. Paul didn't seem that old, I think.
It was 1911. So,
And it had stood quite solidly all
that? It had stood quite solidly. Everybody admired the roof, and they imagined that when it was demolished, you'd have to take the roof off carefully because that beautiful wooden ceiling, that would be worth a lot. Well, it wasn't. It was full of woodworm, and it was a wonder it hadn't collapsed on the congregation.
The old building came down in 2020. We're now in October 24, and
in February 2020, we went along to Terrace Haven, the funeral director's place, just not far from Wesley Broadway, and asked if we could use their premises in the 3 months while we were waiting construction. and that was fine with them, and fairly soon we moved from using their funeral chapel to using their lounge, and we found their lounge much more comfortable. Yeah. And so we stayed there, and we said, yes, it won't be long now. We'll soon be starting to let a contract. But no, as I say, COVID delayed it. And the same old arguments about what it should be, how much it would cost. Synod started saying, no, this is going to cost you too much. We're not going to approve that.
So were they going to fund it, or you had to do lots of fundraising?
No, we had to fund it ourselves. We, as you said, we've had quite a number of churches in the town, so we've had buildings alongside that. And so quite often we've sold a building. We've ended up with capital. And in the Methodist Church, once you've got building capital, what can you spend it on? Only buildings. You're not allowed to spend it on anything except buildings. So I started saying, right, we've got this capital we can only spend on buildings. We better finish this building. We better do a building.
Now, that's something that came up in the UK, didn't it? About the idea of redefining what a church is, because they found they didn't need all the buildings, but they wanted the community.
So if they managed to get rid of their legislation and internal laws that say that they've got to use it.
Yeah. Redefine a church as just a community that meets somewhere.
Rewrite their laws, really, to be able to use the money on ministry rather than on buildings.
Because I don't know about numbers in congregations, but if they're shrinking, then probably you've got more buildings than you need.
That's been the case, and the congregations have been shrinking since the 1950s and 60s.
Did you have a larger site where Wesley Broadway is? Did it go right through to...
It went right through to Main Street.
Yes.
And in the 1990s, the social service centre was moved there and a new building made for their purposes.
Okay. And is that a separate sort of funding structure, or that's still part of the church, would you say?
The buildings and the land are still owned by the church.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. By the Methodist Church of New Zealand.
Yes,
And when the new worship centre at Wesley Broadway was built in 1992, another building was put up, a prefabricated building, called Halafanani. And that was a centre for the Tongan Methodists to meet, because that was a growing part of the church. From the 1980s onwards. Yeah.
Had they used Trinity after you stopped using it?
No, we sold that.
Yeah, okay.
So
you've
so
got...
there was a Tongan presence, and very much both a part of our church and doing their own cultural and their own language things.
Okay.
They'd always been doing that.
So how does that work? They saw themselves as Methodists, but they were sort of semi-independent?
No, they are part of the Methodist Church of New Zealand, yes.
Okay.
There have been break-off groups.
Yeah. Mm. But they'd meet separately sometimes?
In the early 2012, 2013, the conference said that all of the Tongan congregations will become Tongan parishes.
Okay, the conference.
The Methodist Conference. This is something that John Wesley set up in the 1700s, a conference where all the ministers and leading lay people will get together and talk once a year.
Policy making.
So okay. Conference is the Methodist Church's policy making body.
Okay, yeah.
So we have to go to them to get permission.
So it's very
to
democratic then, I suppose. Mm? Very democratic then, is it?
Yes, but also a bit of a layered hierarchy in a sense.
Okay.
Equality between all the ministers. They're all on the same stipend. There is no hierarchy of ministry.
Yeah.
But there is a hierarchy of permission.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we have to go first to the synod. Mm-hmm. Well, first to the parish council, then to the synod, and then to the Methodist Church Property Committee for all these permissions. And that's partly why things took 4.5 years.
It took
nearly 3 of those years to get the permissions. And then we went out into a contract in December 2022 for building. And that was to take 6 months to a year. But that ended up taking more than a year and a half to do the building as well.
Mm. Okay.
Things always take longer than you think they're going to
always
take.
Longer than
so in the end, we've ended up 4.5 years. The Wesley Broadway congregation has met at Terrace Haven.
Yeah.
And
are they pleased that you've now moved on, or
they were a lovely landlord.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just said thanks to them, they don't have us there anymore, but. As we say, when we end up going there for the sort of events you have at a funeral chapel, we'll look around and we'll say, oh, this feels like home.
All well established. Yeah. Mm. So how is the local Methodist church doing?
The Methodist Church of New Zealand is one of the growing churches in New Zealand, but that's one reason only, and that's Pacifica.
Okay,
they,
yeah.
Tongan and the Samoan and the Fijian edges of the church are growing.
Yeah.
Growing in population and growing in membership.
Yeah. So and they have their own ministers from their own communities?
We have just, in our community, decided that we will join together. So we have joint use of the property, this new property we've just built.
Yeah.
And next year we're going to have joint ministry.
Okay.
So we did it. We've been doing that since 2020 in an experimental way, in that we got funding to have a half-time a three-quarter time minister who was half-time in the Tongan parish and a quarter time in the Manawatu Angitiki parish. And that has worked wonderfully in managing to set up the new... We're not going to become one parish, but we're going to become the Methodists of Manawatu working together.
Yeah. Now, when you said Manawatu Rangitiki Parish, how large is that? And do you have several churches?
So I've been the minister of that. And yes, quite a number of church buildings.
Yeah.
In Pahongana, in Ashurst, in Fielding. We didn't have a church in Marton, but we've got a congregation in Marton.
Yeah.
The Methodist church there was sold back in the 1990s.
But
they've been meeting in the Lutheran church.
Yeah.
And up until September last year, we took one Methodist church service, led one Methodist church service every month. But we've stopped doing that now.
Is that a bit like the in a cow tree at the end of Moonshine Valley Road? Right. There's a different setup.
We do provide lay preachers to go there and lead that service once a month. I think they have one every week, but
So they're rotating through the different...
They have Methodists once a month.
Yeah, okay.
And so we do send somebody there. But that's not a Methodist church building.
Okay.
That's a community building. Yeah.
But that would mean as well, then, there are some, I suppose, Christian communities that have weekly services that are rotating round the... What do you call it? You've got the Methodist and Lutheran... So
there's quite a few different... uniting churches. Churches.
Okay.
Mostly Presbyterian Methodist, but some Anglican Presbyterian Methodist. Milson Church is an example.
When
of
you
that.
Say that means the three different branches are.
Yes.
Is there much difference between them? Is there a conflict there?
There's slight sometimes conflicts. And sometimes, yes. And what tends to happen is the church that is a uniting one tends to move away from all of the leading bodies and become its own thing.
Yeah, okay.
But they still get appointments.
Yes.
By either the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church or the Anglican Church.
And what about the age of congregations for those? Are they aging? Because there seems to be some very strong youth churches in Palmerston North, but I'm not quite sure where they come from. They're a bit different. Yes,
we used to be very strong in our youth groups in the 1970s and 80s. But
That's gone quite a bit. Because I'm just wondering what there is in the churches that there's something quite different for young people, isn't it? It's services with guitars instead of organs or something.
Well, there's that. I don't know. But one problem is that the music with all the guitars tends to be their theology is quite archaic. It's all, God is...
So the older congregations have moved, are more progressive socially, and the younger ones with the rah-rah and the big bands are traditional.
A very right-wing
conservative
theology. Yeah.
I would have thought it to be the other way around. Yes,
they think that they're modern, but no, they tend to be fundamentalists.
Okay. So how do you see things developing then? As the older
it's difficult for the Methodist Church because the younger people who aren't fundamentalists don't see any point in going to church either. So our children and our children's children have tended to move away.
Does it mean
they'll go to church when they visit mum or when they visit grandma? And
Have they picked up some of the principles or the values?
I think so, yes.
But they just, because we find even just in general in the I suppose the community sector, community groups, charity or volunteer things, younger the common comment is young people tend not to join organisations.
That is true.
And a lot of their networking is through online
activities,
which means they don't actually have, at the moment it seems, they don't have the body of knowledge and expertise that's being carried over. Totally different area. I heard with things like tramping, there are tramping clubs where you could go, there's people with the experience and the regular talks and knowledge and advice they can give and the equipment. So people who go to those sorts of organisations, there's all the expertise backing that they can call on. But young people now are more likely to say, just through Facebook, for example, put out a note, I'm thinking of going up to this hut, anyone want to join me?
Yeah.
And they just don't have all that strength of knowledge and experience backing them up.
I wonder if more of them don't die.
Probably there's not so many actually go out there. I don't know. But it's a comment from the people in those clubs. They might see it as their strength and the weakness of the others. Probably the people who just do the online stuff say, well, if you've got a problem, you just look online and find all the answers. So,
they get the knowledge anyway. In the hills.
There are issues with that. But if you get the right equipment, then you've got ways to send signals. But
we do have that problem. But the Tongan Church is better at holding on to its younger people at the moment. And they'll eventually have the problem too. But at the moment, we sort of solved the numbers problem by doing a partnership with the Tongan parish.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.